Messiah Yeshua. Praise and worship services begin at 10:30 a.m., followed by an Oneg Shabbat meal, Midrash, and fellowship. Beth Messiah Congregation is located at 8333 Acoma Way in North Denver. You can find out more information by calling 1-800-205-6245. Everyone's welcome, so join us this Shabbat. And Shabbat Shalom, good Sabbath. CINN stations in Alt salutes our troops. Whether you're for the war or against it, they're still there. These men and women deserve more than our support. They deserve the comfort of home. Send a military care package today. Just type military care package into a search engine. Point and click. Let's show our troops we care. This message from CINN stations in Alt, wishing Godspeed to our fighting men and women and thanking them for their triumphs and their sacrifices.
Sick of playing the guessing game with your vitamins? Tired of paying hundreds or even thousands of dollars for supplements that may or may not work? If you're a professional athlete or just looking for nutritional peace of mind, look no more, because you've found BioSuperfood, the next generation in supplementation. 100% natural BioSuperfood packs all your essential proteins, vitamins, minerals, antioxidants, enzymes, and many of nature's special forces you need for optimum health. Call BioAge at 877-288-9116, 877-288-9116.
Well, I understand here at the American Freedom Network, and with us, as usual on Friday morning, is Joel Skousen from World Affairs Brief, bringing us up to date on what's really going on in the world, and then always a very insightful commentary. Good morning, Joel. Good to have you with us again.
Thank you, Dr. Stan. Today we're going to talk about why economies fail, or if they do, and how. There is no shortage, of course, of both optimists and doomsayers predicting either blissful economic recovery or imminent collapse of the dollar. And deciding right isn't really easy. The optimists can be right if government continues to flood the markets with new money and credit, which they can't do for a lot longer than people think. And the doomsayers' claims of imminent collapse do have facts that back that up. But they also fail to understand the depth of power and control financial insiders have over money creation and the manipulation of public perception about markets. Modern government controllers have an uncanny ability to evade blame and turn each new crisis into a recipe for more government intervention with new but false solutions. Yes, the economy is in trouble, but in reality, it's not an economic failure at all. It's a failure of dishonest money, falsified valuations, and government insider banks who are given a free hand to create Ponzi-like financial instruments like derivatives, which deliver billions in speculative profits. But with it all, it's good to keep in mind a core historical truth. Nations do not fail because of economic collapse. Notwithstanding the appearance of financial collapse of the Soviet Union, which was a carefully crafted deception, they die of internal moral corruption and bad leadership, which leaves the nation open to military attack and defeat. And sadly, I think, Stan, we are headed in that new direction, even though Americans don't see it, and the leaders continually try to obscure the fact that we have some real enemies out there, and I'm not talking about terrorists. If we had enough honest people, even if we had enough honest people and the allowance for an honest money system to compete with paper dollars, it would not turn this around. There are simply too many perverse incentives to keep people delivering or believing in the illusion that governments can provide continual aid and benefits and never have to pay the true price or suffer the consequences. Government acts as if it can continue to give foreign aid to every nation in the world, even though we have no surplus. People believe them and keep demanding more aid for all their favorite countries. After all, it's not my money, and it's been going on for decades. Few believe that deficit spending will hit the wall someday, or that they should be the ones to bite the bullet if it does. Everyone seems to be willing to put off any idea of consequences until some future day, and that future day will someday arrive. So the bottom line is that there will be no way that deficit spending will ever be stopped. It's the only way that politicians can spend and buy votes without appearing to tax people to pay for it. All these foreign wars would stop instantly if taxpayers got a $3,000 bill at the end of each month to pay for them. That's why politicians deficit spend and promise tax cuts at the same time. It keeps the populace in a state of apathy with no great financial pain except for the inflation tax. But few see that as caused by government. They blame that on the free market. Kind of an interesting situation.
Well, the amazing thing is that the United States is extending about $30 billion, somewhere there, $36 billion a year in foreign aid every year. And we have to go out and borrow the money to give away to other countries. That doesn't make any sense. And I think you're absolutely right, Joel. I mean, everybody's against big government spending, but nobody who's getting Medicare wants to cut Medicare. Nobody who's getting Social Security wants to do away with Social Security. And that is 40% of the current outlays of our government. And so basically, you know, we're borrowing somewhere between $1.4 and $1.6 trillion, almost 40 cents out of every dollar the federal government spends has to be borrowed, and no end in sight. Certainly the Republicans don't want to cut that. The Democrats don't want to cut that. Nobody wants to do what is necessary, and you can't keep living indefinitely on borrowed money. Go ahead, Joel.
Well, that's just like what Bill Bonner, the Daily Reckoning, was saying. He was incensed at the pretensions of politicians saying they were going to cut the deficit. He says, yesterday the politicians debated proposals to stave off national bankruptcy. All that was revealed was more evidence that America is governed by fools and knaves. You can do the math yourself. Add a few more $1.5 trillion deficits to the national debt. In 5 years, you add a debt equal to 50% of gross domestic product. Add to that the existing debt and round off at $20 trillion. Now, figure an interest rate of 5% and presto, you've wiped out two-thirds of tax receipts on interest alone. The Fed's claimed to be getting serious about cutting spending, right? But $1 trillion, this is what, you know, he's quoting, $1 trillion over 10 years. How serious is that? When you're running trillion-dollar deficits every year, if deficits were to continue at the rate of the last 3 years, this proposal would mean that an additional debt of only $14 trillion rather than $15 trillion. Is that serious? Not at all. Isn't that amazing? They're talking about with a $1.5 trillion debt each year, cutting $1 trillion over the next 10 years. That's going to save a paltry $1 trillion if you know, and it never happens anyway. They never end up cutting anything, even though they promise in the budget that they'll do that. Now, as for tactics, Democrats and Republicans are trying to goad each other into being the first to reveal what cuts they propose. The Republicans are demanding that Obama put something on the table first, but the Democrats are stalling, hoping to force Republicans to come up with a spending cut list that they can use against them in 2012. Nobody wants to go through the hazing that Representative Paul Ryan did after proposing changes to Medicare. The bottom line is that the national debt limit has already been broached, and the government is still spending. So laws don't really mean anything anymore. Nobody on Wall Street believes that U.S. is going to limit its spending or not raise the debt limit. So it's just more political theater, I'm afraid.
Well, I think that people have to face the reality of Medicare. Basically, the Obama system is a rationed health care system that is designed to kill people. They have their death paddles, the Kevorkian death paddles, are been established. They will tell the doctor what to do, and starting in 2012, he will actually withhold medical care or give faulty medical care as direction from Washington, D.C., or he will be fined or go to prison. Let's let people decide if what sort of health care they want. Give them a voucher, let them buy their health care if they want to, or they can enter Dr. Kevorkian's plan.
Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Tom Phillips, founder of the Green Herb.
All of God's people have a ministry, and it's a trick of our enemy to keep God's people sick and worn out to hinder their ability to minister. We are often judgmental toward people who are addicted to booze, cigarettes, and drugs. But we at the Green Herb have found that most of God's people are unknowingly addicted to the two most addictive products in America, sugar and soda pop. If you have a sickness or disease, or if you're just tired a lot, the Green Herb has an herbal product that is formulated just for you, and it's just $15.95. Come by the Green Herb, located in Wheat Ridge, Colorado, on the I-70 Frontage Road North, 1 mile west of Kipling, or call 888-765-HERB. That's 888-765-4372. Or go to our website, www.thegreenherb.com, and be sure to listen to The Green Herb Show with Linda and Dr. Cass every Tuesday at 1 o'clock on KHNC.
Just a good old boy.
Hi, I'm Eric Cedarstrom. For over a decade, I've been the CEO, shipping clerk, and janitor of the Patriot Trading Group. And in that time, I've made friends with tens of thousands of like-minded individuals all over this country, most like me, trying to raise a family, run a business, and make sense out of a world gone mad. I'm proud of the fact that through stock bubbles, housing bubbles, and financial chaos, our customers are prospering and doing very well. By keeping our prices fair and our service fast, we find that 80% of our customers not only reorder, but they tell their friends. Don't be fooled by hype and high pressure. Do business with a company you can trust. Call the Patriot Trading Group at 1-800-951-0592 or check out our website at allamericangold.com. You'll be treated with honesty and respect. You have my word on it. I'm Eric Cedarstrom, CEO, shipping clerk, and janitor.
Making your way, the only way they know how.
Well, Dr. Stan, here, our guest this morning, Joel Skousen, who's simply pointing out that nobody wants to do what needs to be done to bring the budget deficit under control. 20% of the budget goes for Social Security, 20% for Medicare and Medicaid, 20% goes for the military and our unnecessary wars throughout the world. That's 60% of the budget. And the other 40% is money we have to borrow to pay for all the giveaway programs to other nations and all the unconstitutional departments that we have that do nothing but increase government control over our lives. And certainly the only difference between the Republicans and the Democrats is the Republicans say the right thing, but they don't have the courage to make the cuts that are necessary in the social welfare programs or in all of the departments. They can do away with the Department of Education, the Department of Transportation, the Department of Energy, but nobody has the courage to do it. Go ahead, Joel.
Well, and one of the big problems, of course, is the growing sense that government simply disregards the law. As Paul Craig Roberts said, regardless of whether the debt ceiling is raised, the U.S. government's not going to go out of business. Why does anyone think that the president, who does not obey the War Powers Act, the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act, the U.S. international laws against torture, or any laws or procedures that guard civil liberty, is going to feel compelled to obey the debt ceiling limit? It's got a good point. But obviously this can't go on forever. There will be a reckoning. Eventually, as the Fed keeps creating money, inflation will rise sufficiently that the falsified CPI won't be able to hide it, and interest rates will rise dramatically. When that happens, the day of government default on interest obligations will gets closer very, very fast. Technically, that happens when interest payments owed exceed U.S. tax revenues. But if you think about it, what's to keep the government from simply creating more money to pay the bills just like they do now? Well, the answer has to do with the inevitable social unrest that would result from high inflation. When people don't have any means of raising their wages, they demand that inflation stop. If they're stupid, they'll buy into the same price control scheme Richard Nixon gave us in the 1970s. But even if the voters are smart enough to throw the rascals out, there's nothing an honest president can do to save us. Even Ron Paul couldn't do it. We are past the point of no return. The national debt cannot be paid off. The U.S. and other countries are heading for the same abyss. But will governments fail? Well, if you mean fail and go away, the answer is no. Government has the power to act in ways larger than any individual can, so it will never go away. This simply, they simply change faces and leaders. But no government ever gives up the power to control force and wealth. If we mean fail financially and rise again with another false solution, like a new fiat currency with false promises of fiscal restraint, yes, that will happen. even in the crisis of debt collapse, the people will always accept superficial temporary solutions rather than go back to real money with its restraints on government spending, tax consequences, slow growth, and lack of government freebies. Now, a lot of conservatives are pushing for a return to gold and silver coin as legal tender. But this won't do any good as long as it has to compete with fiat money in the same economy. The old adage is true, bad money drives out good. That's because people will naturally hoard money that has real value, like gold and silver coins, and spend paper dollars that are depreciating. It's a matter of the value of money that money has while it's sitting in reserve. If you have a gold coin in your pocket, it is appreciating while it sits there. The dollar in your pocket, however, is depreciating. Well, which one will people tend to keep? I think it's very obvious. They'll keep the gold or the silver and spend the dollars. Well, in the larger picture of the economy, there are both inflationary and deflationary forces at work. Despite what people hear, deflation is actually good for an economy as it corrects prices that are too high and helps everyone's money go further. While conservatives decry foreign production of consumer goods, Americans save billions each year on cheaper prices that imports bring, far more savings than lost wages for lost jobs. Now, with that said, that's a pure free market economic argument. The loss of industrial power by shipping our jobs overseas and the effect that it has on a future war is the real danger that can't be compensated by the savings to consumers. And it's not just because of cheap labor that industries move overseas. Regulations and litigation threats are some of the biggest reasons American companies go overseas. Other beneficial deflation is that used home values are still declining, which is healthy. New home construction is at its lowest rate in years, which is needful until the housing inventory matches real needs. Auto sales are way down, too, which is not surprising since people are more reluctant to take on new debt. Both of these deflationary sectors, housing and cars, are driven by debt, and that's why we're in trouble today. The reason home prices are still declining nationwide is due to the huge backlog of foreclosed homes on the market. Why should anyone buy a non-distressed house when he can pick up any number of homes in foreclosure that are selling for a third less than what they can be built for new? That's also why fewer new homes are being built. New home prices are incapable of coming down to below cost unless the builder is going bankrupt. And the cost of labor and materials in a new home has not decreased that much at all. So while there's a bit less talk on business talk shows about the green shoots of recovery, everyone with a vested interest in the business markets wants to keep believing in the best-case scenario. I just recently heard this week a real estate professional who was touted as a realist who was telling the Nightly Business Report that it would take at least a year or two for the current crop of foreclosed homes to be liquidated, as he was, and he was predicting prices would then start to rise. Well, that's good thinking, except that he was working on the assumption that the foreclosures are declining. That is not yet true. The backlog of foreclosures cannot be liquidated unless the inflow of new foreclosures declines significantly. Once that happens, then you can start talking about the 1 to 2 year period it takes to liquidate the inventory. Well, and sadly, most commentators don't really know how much inventory of foreclosures there are out there because banks are holding them off the market in order to keep the prices from collapsing further. In short, deflation's a negative and inevitable reaction to an inflationary spike in the markets. Deflation is a market correction for falsified demand pressures created by government easy money policies. And currently, we have deflation going on at the same time as other prices are inflating. Many don't realize it right now, but this current level of economic activity is pretty close to what it should be. That is, business with not a lot of debt driving purchases. If the government would just let things alone, business and employment would adjust over time to this lower level of growth driven by profits and savings, not debt, and things would stabilize. But as you know, that's not going to happen. Both government and financial insiders love inflation. It's not only a free source of money for which politicians can buy benefits and wage wars without taxes, but the inflationary expectations in the speculative markets make for huge profits. Now, I've often said on your show, Stan, that I don't think we're ever going to see the days of Weimar German style hyperinflation. our monetary base is too large and there is no government injection mechanism to allow citizens to raise their pay weekly to compensate for inflation, as happened in Germany. That said, 20% inflation would be enough to cause everyone to start spending dollars rapidly just to beat the rising prices. Raw commodity prices in some cases already exceed 20% inflation today. The only reason those prices don't fully get passed on to the consumer is the raw material cost is but a small portion of the finished goods price. Still, inflation is beginning to hurt, and it doesn't help the government has a pernicious habit of understating inflation to hide it. Those predicting the imminent collapse of the dollar fail to realize that most of the Fed's bailout money is not being directly injected into the real economy, where it would be highly inflationary. Most of the bailouts have gone to insider banks and flow mostly into the speculative markets of hedging, derivatives, and futures. I estimate that only 20% of the new money comes out of the speculative economy and is spent into the productive economy. There's considerable new money directly injected into the real economy, coming from high levels of government spending, you know, military contractors, entitlements, education grants, government loans, stimulus funds. But all this doesn't immediately show up as price inflation because it's being diluted by market sectors experiencing deflation. So in other words, we would get the advantage of much lower prices if it weren't for the fact that inflation is diluting the deflationary pressures, which are beneficial. And another chunk of Fed money went into bank reserves, which are the highest in history. Most of these reserves are parked with the Fed, which gives back generous interest rates so that cooperating banks can collect income without taking the risk of lending into the commercial markets. This is the primary reason why few banks are spending. So, basically, there's a lot of talk about we're on the verge of a Great Depression. Peter Yostov told that to CNBC. We're on the verge of a great, great depression, and the Fed knows that, he says. Another manager of a billion-dollar fund said the government never fixed the underlying economic problem, so we will have another crash. Well, part of this is true about the economy not being fixed, but I'm not buying the greatest depression ever claim. There's so much surplus wealth in this country, and even inside everyone's home, that hardships of today can't even hold a candle to the Great Depression. Where are the long bread lines? Even our unemployed are living comfortably, or comparatively well, between unemployment compensation and reliance on relatives. And 44 million people are on food stamps, living much better than most during the Great Depression. Restaurants and movie houses are still packed on weekends. In short, there is no depression, even though the financial system is still not fixed and cannot be. The only question is how long will the slow decline take and how soon will high inflation come upon us? Inflation is the only game in town left that the Fed has to play, but only the Fed knows for sure how much they're going to inject and where its impact will be felt. As an experienced watcher of these conspiring men, I can tell you, Stan, that my gut feeling is that they intend to keep the collapse at bay for at least 5 to 10 more years. And by then, they'll have a world war to cover up for the collapse. So that's
well, I fear that you're right. It's only a matter of time until we are involved in another world war. And I just tremble when I think of the implications and all the people who will die needlessly as they died needlessly in World War One and World War Two. Go right ahead.
Well, speaking of insider knowledge, major insider banks have been given inside information on imminent military action in the Middle East and are betting that oil will be higher in midsummer. Goldman Sachs is proclaiming that oil will soar to $135 a barrel and service stations will jack up the prices to $5 a gallon. JP Morgan also predicting oil to reach $130. But what I think this means is the globalists have inside information about an upcoming Israeli strike on Iran, or that the U.S.-British-financed Arab revolt will further threaten oil supplies. As I pointed out last week, Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu spent almost a third of his speech at the AIPAC conference on the need to attack Iran. Moshe Yaalon, an Israeli cabinet minister, said civilized world must take action to avert an Iranian nuclear threat, including a preemptive strike if necessary. His spokesman quickly downplayed the remark, but I think it's telling, and I think that J.P. Morgan and Goldman Sachs have been given the advance notice that there's going to be an oil spike coming up, and they'll take advantage of that by betting on the markets.
I think you're absolutely right, and I think I mentioned yesterday's a little known fact is that the Senate has voted to actually allow oil drilling in Anwar, and I don't know whether that's gone to the House yet, but very, very quietly they've agreed to oil drilling in the Arctic National Wildlife Reserve. There's abundant oil up there. Now, it'll be years before it comes online. But the only reason that, and this has been artificially kept off the market. I mean, who's been keeping the oil from being drilled in Anwar? Why, the oil companies. They want it, of course. They use the environmental movement. They finance the environmental movement to cut back on oil drilling, because the world would be awash with oil otherwise, and of course the price would plummet. Now, of course, they're going to allow drilling because they know the price is going up. The only thing is they could raise the price of oil with the massive amounts of oil there is would be disruption of the supply for the Middle East. They know what's going to happen. They just don't want us common folks to know. We'll be right back in just a moment.
Beth Messiah Congregation invites you to join them for Shavuot 2011, June the 12th at the Amphitheater, North Shore, Lake Loveland, Loveland, Colorado. Festivities begin at 9:45. Praise and worship with the Mendez Brothers Band, the Beth Messiah Dancers, and Marty Gale and the Celebration Dancers. Teachings by Senior Pastor Mark McClellan from the Harvest Congregation and Dr. Frank Morgan of the Watchman's Cry. Special guest speaker, Mr. Eddie Chumney. Bring your own lunch. No glass containers, please. Restoration Fellowship will be providing lamb and pita. Communion and mikvah services also available. Call 1-800-205-6245 for more information. That's 1-800-205-6245. Beth Messiah Congregation. Shavuot 2011, June the 12th, the Amphitheater, North Shore, Lake Loveland. Be there. And Hag Sameach.
Whether you already know essential oils are valued for their ancient wisdom and wellness, or you're considering their use as a viable, non-toxic, healthy alternative, your question should be the same. Are all essential oils certified pure therapeutic grade? Who makes the highest quality essential oils available? Do all test for safety and meet rigorous standards? Can all oils pass the scrutiny of health professionals and scientists? Many essential oils don't meet these standards, so ask one more question. Where can I find the most powerful, reasonably priced, certified pure therapeutic grade essential oils? doTERRA. Gift of the Earth. doTERRA, committed to natural, empowering ideals. If you're new to essential oils or a seasoned expert, you'll recognize the superior quality of doTERRA certified pure therapeutic grade essential oils with your first experience. Call 970-493-6789. That's 970-493-6789 or RockyMountainEssentialOil.com. That's RockyMountainEssentialOil.com.
Article 4. The right of the people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures shall not be violated, and no warrant shall be issued but upon probable cause, supported by oath or affirmation, and particularly describing the places to be searched and the persons or things to be seized.
An emergency preparedness plan for your home, car, school, and office is a must. Knowing how to store water safely, survive extreme temperature changes, provide reliable shelter, first aid, and sanitation is critical. Knowing where to get the best lights, radios, and other supplies is easy. Ferris Survival, located at 3366 South Broadway, is a professional, reputable, full-service business providing realistic preparedness supplies at affordable prices. Stop by, go online, or call 303-781-0343, 866-781-0343.
Well, Dr. Stan, our guest this morning, Joel Skousen from World Affairs Brief. And before we go on, Joel, I'd like you to tell our listeners how they can get to World Affairs Brief and Sydney, subscribe to your weekly commentary, and, of course, how they can get your books on strategic relocation to secure home, etc. How could people get in touch with you?
Stan, my World Affairs Brief is showcased on my website, worldaffairsbrief.com, and I encourage people to go there. They can see the headlines of the current brief. The one we're talking about is coming up later today. If people want a free sample copy before they subscribe to my service, they can email me at editor@worldaffairsbrief.com. And as we've often discussed, it's our mutual philosophy that while we fight for our liberty, that we have to prepare for a takedown if, in fact, the conspiring forces of the government give us a war or other things, that we've got to survive in order to live again another day to preserve our liberty. And so I've spent 30 years in a career as a high-security architect to develop plans and procedures to help people prepare for very difficult times. Top-selling book I have is Strategic Relocation, North American Guide to Safe Places. And it's, as I say, selling very well, and I think it's one of the best sellers you have at Radio Liberty. It tells everything about contingency planning, safe places within the United States, and how to plan for things or make contingency plans if you can't leave the big cities where the major danger is. My largest book is The Secure Home. It's 700 pages and big as a telephone book. Everything from A to Z on security and construction, as well as self-sufficiency, generator, solar, water, and wind power, and multi-fuel contingencies for a home. And the final book is an architectural plan book on how to develop a safe room within a basement. And all three of these books are available from Radio Liberty.
By calling 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Strategic Relocation, The Secure Home, and then How to Build a Safe a Room in Your Home. So they're all available by calling 1-800-544-8927, and they certainly are among our best sellers. In fact, I think they probably are regularly among our best sellers, other than my book, Brotherhood of Darkness. Okay, Joe, we'll go ahead and pick up the story, because we're moving into very, very difficult times. People need to be prepared for what lies ahead. And the America we have known in the past, the wonderful utopia, where government provided for everybody from the cradle to the grave, and there were all sorts of money for every sort of thing, eventually is beginning to run out, and it's only a matter of time. Federal government has been subsidizing the states so that they can maintain all their state employees. That money is being cut off, and now the states and then the counties and the cities are beginning to have to lay off people. There are more and more people are losing their secure government jobs all across America. We're having to lay off people working in the libraries and the police department, the fire department, and teachers. And this is going to begin a cascading affair because, of course, these people then won't have the income. They won't be able to be buying products. So, of course, products will not be selling. We're certainly seeing, as the price of gasoline goes up, people have less money for buying, and so, of course, even stores like Walmart are not doing as well as they have in the past, and the whole economy begins to contract in the face that there is massive amounts of money out there, but so much of it, as Joel has pointed out, is deposited with the Federal Reserve System, and that's what they're using to buy up our debt. It's the money that's deposited with the Fed by the banks for security. And what's the money the Fed doing with it? It's buying our own debt. How long can you pull yourself up by your own bootstraps? Eventually, of course, it's pretty hard to do it. Go ahead, Joel.
Well, you are mentioning Walmart. It is particularly interesting. CEO Mike Duke tracks spending very closely in his notice because Walmart, caters to blue-collar purchasers particularly. And he says Walmart's core shoppers are running out of money much faster than a year ago due to rising gasoline prices. He says typically, our buyers live paycheck to paycheck. They typically shop in bulk at the beginning of the month when their paychecks come in. Purchases are really dropping off by the end of the month, even more than last year, said Duke. This end-of-the-month purchase cycle is growing to be a great concern to us. And I think that's a very, very good figure on the fact that people are running short of money. So in essence, Walmart sales drop off dramatically toward the end of the month. And they used to be just barely tapering off, showing that people were running out of money. But now they're running out of money much sooner, and a lot of that can be owed to the larger take the gasoline prices take out of each people's paycheck. I mean, I know myself, I travel quite a bit by a car. I don't like to fly on airlines if I can drive within a day to where I'm getting for consultation. And my gas prices, my gas bill has just doubled per month from what it used to be. Things are really no better overseas. The second bailout of Greece is ongoing. It was obvious that Greece wasn't going to be able to wring any more austerity measures from its spoiled populace. Government workers, for example, retire at age 50, which infuriates the Germans. The CIA even conjured up a false warning of a Greek military coup if rebellion against austerity measures intensified. Now, this, of course, was a U.S. ploy to help push the EU into agreeing to this second bailout. Moody's had downgraded Greece to just barely above default, and that was being generous. It was most likely because they have foreknowledge of this coming second bailout. Der Spiegel set the stage when it said the Troika, IMF, European Commission, the European Central Bank, asserts its report, in its report to be present next week, that Greece had missed all its agreed fiscal targets. Well, in essence, what's happening is that the bailout, which was supposedly being protested by Germany, because Angela Merkel, the Chancellor of Germany, was, of course, acceding to popular discontent with these bailouts. Finland in the EU is threatening to not participate or not pay its fair share of the bailouts, which is threatening to unravel the EU monetary union. But in fact, Angela Merkel was only making a public view against these bailouts all the time she was planning on voting for it, which she did. And the reason is because the German banks were the ones who made most of the secret loans under the table to Greece and Spain and Portugal. These nations could not live within the EU zone rules, limiting inflation to 3.5%. Merkel was just pandering to the people, but was always intending to back the German banks. Bob Moriarty noted that Greece is only the tip of the problem in the EU. What is going on in Spain, Greece, Ireland, and Iceland is all part of the same ticking time bomb. Events almost defy imagination. Well, he also revealed that Spain and Greece had used non-transparent derivatives to improve their financial books so they could enter the EU. The cooked books were now pretty obvious, and Germans are objecting to having to work to age 67 when the Greeks can retire at 50.
We'll be back in just a moment here at the American Freedom Network.
Elizabeth Boyer.
U.S. cash flows in Fort Collins
July 24, 2006. This is the Divided Kingdom. And as you listeners may know, the Divided Kingdom got its name from the Bible, the time at which the kingdom was divided because of the sins of the two parts of the nation. And we know that September 11th, 2001, shows all of us that something is very, very wrong. But the interesting part is that so many people in our time, I say time because it's not really a time anymore. It's divided too. We have the old America and we have the new America, the police state trying to usurp the old values of individualism. We have that corridor coming. We have the North American community coming. We have so much that's threatening everything that you and I ever believed in. And of course, Dr. Stan Monteith believes this is a spiritual war. And of course, Lou and Blanchard and I would have to agree. At this time, seeing what we've seen in the last 5 years, all the subtleties, all the parts of the conspiracy,
Air Survival.
Something very important we watched
South
over
Broadway
the weekend. Rock and roll sorcerers of the new age from Fight the Good Fight Ministries available at Dr. Stan Monteith, Radio Liberty. I want to give that number, 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. This is probably the very best thing we have ever watched that shows irrevocably there is a Satan, there is a power of darkness, and he wants to destroy all mankind, spiritually and physically. And all of us now are looking at the outer manifestations of this terrible, terrible evil. Right now, we're focused on the Mideast. We want to know what's really going on there.
Well,
what is really going on? I was reading a rather chill-type newsletter today. It was really an email, and it was coming from a person who has a well-meaning Israeli-type ministry, a Christian ministry in America. But it's really in favor of helping Israel. But it had lots of platitudes and how we must just unreservedly support Israel and the leaders, and perhaps there were a few things wrong, and the writer boiled it down to being secular humanism among the Israeli leaders. And at the same time I was reading that, I was looking at a book by Barry Hamish. And this book is Shabtite Zvi, Labor Zionism, and the Holocaust. And of course, I haven't completed the entire book yet, but it's certainly thought-provoking, and it's certainly incisive, and it gets underneath the things that I call the platitudes. It's really a wonderful book, and we're hoping to be interviewing Barry Hamish tonight. And parts of his book talk about the Hebron Massacre. That was somewhat like my chapter in Patriot's Warning 1 about a fatal frost. The loyal soldiers who are being possibly killed off within our military. Al Caput reported this suspect heart attack death that they were having. And then, of course, in Barry's book, we also see the New World Order is not exclusive to America. It is not exclusive to any one country. The goal would be to have foreign troops come in to take over in Israel as well as here in America. We know that all of this goes back to the horrible satanic evils channeled by Madame Blavatsky. Those ascended masters always say there are two groups of people who will not be tolerated when the one world religion comes. They're not progressive enough. And these peoples are the Jews and the Christians. We'll hear more about Shabbataism. We'll hear about the corrupt casinos and such more, so much more. Stay tuned for the Divided Kingdom.
Neither of these two candidates are credible.
There is one and only one national populist news weekly, staffed by an unsurpassed team of veteran investigative journalists who have dared to rip the veil of deception from the cover-up stories promoted by the big money-controlled media monopoly. American Free Press. AFP's no-holds-barred journalists fearlessly seek the truth, no matter how controversial the issue. AFP publishes exciting, in-depth, uncensored news and information good patriotic Americans need to know to combat the coming police state being clamped in our republic. The American Free Press is your voice. Subscribe today and catch up on the real news. Mention RBN when you call and receive a one-year subscription, plus a copy of Michael Collins Piper's latest bestseller, The High Priests of War. All that for just $49. Call AFP toll-free, 888-699-NEWS, or visit AmericanFreePress.net.
How would you feel if you found out there was no law requiring you to pay an income tax and the government was cheating you?
There is no constitutional basis for a tax on the wages of Americans living and working in the 50s.
Even putting him on the cover of Time magazine as Man of the Year.
Warsaw's highest rating, American Freedom Fascism, makes Fahrenheit 9/11 look like Bambi, CBS.
What happens if your own government is using more force and more coercion on its own citizens for the purpose of purpose of achieving these political objectives.
American people expect us to protect them and protect our civil liberties. I'm going to do that.
What is being sold to the American people today? As Americans, if you peel off the label, you find so much similarity to what we were fighting against when we were fighting communism and Nazism and fascism.
What if you found out the government was planning to put electronic chips into you so they can track you?
This is absolutely Orwellian.
America, freedom to fascism. The scariest film you'll see this year, coming July 28th.
Can we talk?
Can we talk?
Can we talk about gun control?
Gun control?
Seems like it should work, doesn't it?
It should work.
You think so?
Pass the right laws.
Pass the right laws.
You can disarm the criminals.
You disarm them.
That's the idea.
But the problem is, criminals don't obey the law.
They don't obey the law.
That's true.
After all, they're criminals.
They're criminals.
They'll always find a way to get guns.
No matter how many laws you pass,
which means
they still have guns.
They still have guns. While the rest of us
are just left defenseless.
Americans who own guns, people like you and me, prevent over a million violent crimes every year. Get the facts on gun control. Visit armedandsecure.org. That's armedandsecure.org.
This week to headline a major GOP donors dinner in Dover, but he now plans to visit Manchester and other cities to gauge his popularity. He's riding just behind.
The tyranny is growing worldwide.
Despite the poll results, writes Lawrence, a reflection of his lingering name recognition, perhaps. He says, not everyone's likely to put out the welcome mat for the man who skipped the state in 2008. We mustn't forget, of course, is my commentary, that his connection with 9/11 cover-up, his relationship with corrupt police chief Bernie Kerik, his multiple marriages, and his conflicting views on women's rights and homosexuals. In fact, Giuliani has more than enough reason to limit his exposure in early primaries. There are rumors swirling around about his apparently misuse of public funds to finance expensive vacations with his former mistress, Judith Nathan, who subsequently became his third wife. Sounds just like Newt Gingrich. Nathan didn't help matters by campaigning for a new husband and making a series of gaffes, including her claim that Giuliani was her second husband when it was her third. It's not clear how Giuliani managed to avoid further public scrutiny and even a possible indictment over alleged corruption. Well, it is very clear how he avoided it. It's because the media covered up for him and didn't pick up the drumbeat. You know, they can even mention the truth once or twice, Dan, but unless they make it a constant drumbeat, no one pays any attention. Of course, he says the main challenge facing Giuliani, like any other candidate deemed to have strong crossover appeal, that means referring to both liberals and conservatives, is how to retain the backing in the party's conservative base, especially religious voters. Giuliani is decidedly pro-choice. He is decidedly pro-choice, and unlike Romney, is unlikely to change his spots just to appease evangelical Christians. Republican voters, he says, if anything, are even more conservative-minded than they were in 2008, and are unlikely to let an even diehard fiscal hawk.
Well, we're out of time, Joel. Let's hope that Giuliani does as well this time as he did 2008. God bless. We'll talk to you next week. Thanks so much.
Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Tom Phillips, founder of the Green Herb.
All of God's people have a ministry, and it's a trick of our enemy to keep God's people sick and worn out to hinder their ability to minister. We are often judgmental toward people who are addicted to booze, cigarettes, and drugs, but we at the Green Herb have found that most of God's people are unknowingly addicted to the two most addictive products in America, sugar and soda pop. If you have a sickness or disease, or if you're just tired a lot, the Green Herb has an herbal product that is formulated just for you, and it's just $15.95. Come by the Green Herb, located in Wheat Ridge, Colorado, on the I-70 Frontage Road North, 1 mile west of Kipling, or call 888-765-HERB, that's 888-765-4372, or go to our website, www.thegreenherb.com, and be sure to listen to The Green Herb Show with Linda and Dr. Cass every Tuesday at 1 o'clock on KHNC.
We the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, do ordain and establish this Constitution for the United States of America. Worship and Warfare, Holy Places and In His Hands. Three praise and worship CDs now available through Voice of Many Waters Ministry. Call 1-800-205-6245 or check it out on the web, www.voiceofmanywaters.org. Each CD is $15 plus $3.50 shipping and handling. Call 1-800-205-6245 or www.voiceofmanywaters.org.
Well, I just stand here, and I hope you enjoy our weekly conversation with Joel. Well, he does most of the talking, but certainly I appreciate what he has to say, because I agree with everything or almost everything he brings out, and I think his commentary is well worthwhile listening to. Now, basically, I want to just comment briefly on the weather. The weather is changing. I mean, massive tornadoes like we've never seen before, massive flooding, change in the weather. There is climate change. But why? Is it because we've increased the amount of CO2 in the atmosphere from 0.28 thousandths of a percent, 0.028 thousandths of a percent, you know, 0.38 thousandths of a percent, basically a 40% increase in the CO2 of the atmosphere. That's all there is. I mean, 28 thousandths of an atmosphere to 38 thousandths of a 1%, and that's not what's causing the climate change. I believe it's the HAARP program. I believe it's the geoengineering. It's the chemtrails. You need to get the DVD, What in the World Are They Spraying? Going to Geoengineering. You need to get Bob Fletcher's excellent DVD on weather modification. You need to get our four-tape set on weather modification. You need to get our four-tape set on HAARP. You need to get the book we carry on weather modification, the book on HAARP. They're available by calling 1-800-544-8927. You need to have this information. You need, of course, to duplicate it. You need to get it out. The fellow who made the DVD on What in the World Are They Spraying has given you permission to make copies of it. Once people begin to understand, they are actually changing the composition of our atmosphere. They're introducing aluminum, one of the most toxic substances we know, into our water supply, into our air, into the crops, into the snow. They're going to get angry. And more people are beginning to understand as they look to the sky. And, of course, they know what they're doing. They're geoengineering the atmosphere. They're putting aluminum into the atmosphere. I've actually seen it. I've touched it when it came down at one time a few years ago. It deposited on trees in our area, and we actually... somebody cut those branches off and brought them to me. It was a semi-gelatinous material. Now, you don't really see it. You have to have the right weather atmospheric conditions, and ordinarily it just comes down and gets into the soil. But now the trees are beginning to die here in California. The crops actually have the aluminum in that gets into the roots, and they don't do well. But you are getting aluminum toxicity. There is a covert population control agenda. They have already killed several billion people. They're killing people today. They intend to kill billions more. 90 to 95% of our population have been marked for extermination. You need to get my talk on planned population reduction and Nundare called it genocide, and copy these and get them out. Our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. 8927. Make arrangements to come to our conference on the 23rd of October. We're having excellent programs on aspartame, excellent programs on the chemtrails or contrails, call it what you will. They are poisoning the atmosphere. It's all about population control. We're talking about killing your children and your grandchildren. 1-800-544-8927. Until Monday, may the Lord be with you.
If cholesterol, high blood pressure, angina, atherosclerotic plaque, or stroke are a concern for you or your loved one, or you want to strengthen your heart, increase stamina, and promote overall cardiovascular health, then join the Heart Technology team. Heart Technology, Linus Pauling's recommended vitamin C therapies, is the answer to your concern. Don't wait until it's too late. For more information and to order, call Dennett Daniels at 1-800-205-6245. Heart Technology, it's natural, it's effective, it's inexpensive, and it's guaranteed. 1-800-205-6245.
If catastrophe struck, would your family be prepared? Are you confident you wouldn't react in a panic? Is there one place to get all of your emergency supplies? Ferris Survival encourages you to have confidence through preparation, not panic through crisis. Ferris Survival, located at 3366 South Broadway, is a professional, reputable, full-service business providing quality, realistic preparedness supplies at an affordable